It's Thursday for everyone else. It's Wendy Snyder here. Thanks for joining us on the stream. Jasmine, are you co-hosting with me today?
I guess I am.
Is Bill still getting Starburst?
I think so. He had a candy first.
You know, seriously. I'm doing all the heavy lifting over here. Bill Leff is in a tennis tournament tomorrow. I'm kind of confused. I said he was a national champion. State Tennis Association champion.
Does he already have on white shorts?
You know, we have to ask him that if he comes in to do the stream. Seriously, he went to get Starburst.
I just saw him running by these windows. He's on the way, I believe.
I am so unbelievably disappointed in you.
Something very important happened, Wendy. Can I tell you what it was? The people from Smith Furniture have made special furniture for our office.
And you saw the pillow that they made, and you could figure out which pillow went in our office.
They made a special pillow for us, Moldorama. That's the company that you see at Brookfield Zoo. They do molded animals. They made this. So I was thanking them, and then Stephanie, one of our bosses, said, "Girl," she calls everybody girl. I don't think she realizes it only works if you're talking to a girl. But she goes, "Girl, we have got to make a video." I go, "I'm on the air in 45 seconds. That can wait. This is more important, girl." So we made a video.
She's turned it into my mother-in-law.
Yes. Yes.
She doesn't sound exactly like my mother-in-law, but you made her.
She said, "The South will rise again." At some point, she said, "The South will rise again." And she said, "I don't know nothing about birth and no babies." And I go, "You're just quoting lines from Gone with the Wind at this point. What are you doing?"
So you made a video?
Yeah.
All right,
and
good,
it'll
good.
Be at the Cannes Film Festival.
All right, good that you did. And Walter
Smith
did
it grudgingly.
I know you say grudgingly because you're convinced that's a word, but I thought it was begrudgingly.
No, I did it grudgingly. I didn't do it begrudgingly. I knew that this is the bread and butter. The doing the radio show is first and foremost. But she goes, "We got to get this video done. We got to."
Lately, it's been all about social media and videos.
I know.
And, you know, can I just say,
this is more important, right? The radio show is that's what people came to expect. That's why we're doing this, but
the others are just little extras.
I agree.
And I swear to God, if I got into radio because I have a face for radio, and I like to hide behind a mic.
You're not supposed to say that about yourself. You're supposed to say that to other people who are in radio.
No, I just, you know, I don't like to really dress up.
Right.
I like to hide behind a microphone.
Right.
So all of a sudden now in the last few years, there's the camera that people can watch you.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, John, texted me and said, "Could you please have Bill move his microphone stand because he's blocking your face?" And yeah. I said, "He does that on purpose."
I do that on purpose.
And second of all, I really enjoy it because I'm not, I don't want to do it. So video and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I am sick of social media.
Are you done with it or just sick of it?
I don't even do much of it anymore. Poor Jasmine does all the show social media stuff. I looked at your Facebook page. You haven't had much activity either in quite some time.
I haven't posted anything in a long, long time.
And again, it's like, it's just, we have a radio show, thankfully.
That's our platform.
That should take our time and effort.
I do, you know, we do 3 hours here, 2 hours on regular radio, and then usually an hour of bonus radio. Then when the show's done, I have a bullhorn. I go to Mariano's, and I just shout stuff at people in the parking lot. I do that for 90 minutes.
What do you shout about?
Just various things, whatever tickles my fancy.
So you have sometimes a platform there as well, but literally a platform that you step on?
I mean a platform. I'm not saying the word platform like I have a means of communication. I bring a small, it's like a footstool, and I stand on there, and I go, "Lamb chops are on sale, ladies and gentlemen. If you want some lamb chops, we have those on sale." And the managers hate me for it. They don't want me doing it. I'm scaring the kids.
Why? You're helping them.
You'd think, but they say you're scaring children. So,
although it's funny because if you're pulling into a Mariano's parking lot, chances are you're already going to Mariano's. So
why am I wasting my time? I don't know. I just felt it was something fun to do. But now I'm starting to think it was a mistake.
The pillows were made for our office. Walter E. Smith is putting some beautiful furniture in all of our offices.
Very nice things.
And these pillows are from a Chicago company, and I can't remember the name of it, but they're pretty cool. They're hand-painted, and you can get what you want. And did you guess what everybody's were? Because ours is a Moldorama.
Right. Oh, is only one of those for us? Because I took all of them and put them in our office. I didn't know they were for other people. The other ones didn't make sense to me. I just said, well,
there was a golf course, so that would go too.
Probably Steve Cochran.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then there was a bunch of bar glasses with the names of drinks. Who do you think gets that?
Rokans, probably. Yeah.
And then there's a wiener dog.
Hmm. Ron Jeremy?
All right, that was a fabulous guess. But how do you not know John Williams doesn't? He has two dachshunds.
Oh, does he? I didn't know that.
Dogs.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't. That's new to me.
Their names: Daisy and
Fuentes. He's a big fan of.
Yeah, his wife would let him name him that.
He's a huge Daisy Fuentes fan. John Williams.
Bingo. Is it Daisy and Bingo?
Is it? Yeah, I don't know.
I think it is. But he's got the wiener dogs.
I would have done like a Thomas Jefferson pillow for him.
He loves his wiener dogs
more than Thomas Jefferson. More, really?
I almost just said S word. Yeah. I just almost just there. We've been moved around so much, I feel like, you know.
I know.
An adult film star.
We've been jostled.
So you feel like an adult film star as well.
Yeah.
All right, well, Kim Gordon asked a wonderful question, and I don't know if we're answering
it.
I was bragging about you won't be here tomorrow because you. I keep saying it wrong, but you are the participating...
Illinois State Tennis Champion, USTA, 40 and over. I always leave that part out. It's like when I went to Columbia College and people would ask me where I went to college and I'd just say Columbia and then really quietly I'd go college, really quietly.
Instead of Columbia University?
Yeah, I wanted people to think I was going to Columbia University. So I'd just go, I attend Columbia and then just college really quietly, really quietly. So although it would be fine, we're state champions. That's exciting. But I never mentioned the part that it's over 40 because then people
you
just go.
Be in a higher bracket than that.
Do you think? Maybe.
Because you're with 40-year-olds. There's a big difference between 40-year-olds and you.
Most of the people I play, you know, because I'm in two leagues. I'm in the 40 and over and then I'm in 18 and over. And I usually play people that are half my age. Usually. So that's that. Even if I lost, I'd still be proud of myself for that. Holding up against, you know, people who are in their mid-20s, right? What was Kim Gordon's question? I still have another question.
If you're wearing white shorts.
Do you wear white shorts?
Oh, Kim, it's a great question. No, I do not.
Do you wear your jorts?
No, no.
Do you wear khakis like Jake from State Farm?
Do you wear your cargo pants?
No. Oh, no, Wendy.
What do you wear?
There are various
really short shorts, like from the 80s with the piping on the side and then tube socks?
No.
Mm-mm. That's a good look.
These are shorts that have been selected for me by my wife and one of my daughters to be both aerodynamic and stylish at the same time. And I wore a corresponding shirt, like the ones tomorrow. I'm already plotting out my outfits, my tennis outfits for the four matches. So tomorrow I will probably go with the black shorts with the green piping and then a green T-shirt.
Now, do you guys have uniforms?
No, there are no uniforms.
You're wearing green?
Yeah. Why?
Oh, you're not playing on grass, so I guess I thought it was something
To make myself blend in.
Yeah, but Bill, when you go to the finals, you have to be like Tiger Woods and wear red on finals day.
Well, red is one of my. If I play doubles, this is like way more psychological than it needs to be. But if I'm playing doubles, I wear red because it looks like I'm a target, and if they see red, they want to hit the ball to me because they go hit it toward the target, the red target, and I want the ball.
You are an interesting and intricate piece of work.
Thank you.
Because that does make sense.
It does make sense.
Red cars get the most speeding tickets because it stands out.
All right.
You want to hit the ball. So you're not only playing a physical game. You
it's a
are,
mental game.
But like super
Two years ago, I did an experiment. Whenever I played doubles, I would wear different colored outfits, tennis outfits, Wendy.
By Don't far, call them outfits.
When I wore the red, by far, the ball was hit to me so much more than when I wore any other color. Because they just see red, and psychologically you go, it's red, that's the target, I'm hitting the ball there.
You should give a TED talk.
To Ted?
No.
I would love to sit Ted down and share some wisdom.
I got to tell you, I am...
it works.
I'm super impressed. No, it makes a lot of sense, but what if you're playing doubles and your partner is wearing red?
Is also wearing red?
Do you make him take his shirt off?
Yeah. I say,
could you switch? I'd put this on first.
Red is. I do the same thing. Like if Terry and I are going out with another couple or something, we don't want to be dressed too similarly because that would look like we planned it. So if we're wearing the same thing, one of us has to change. Do you ever do this with Jimmy? You go, look, we're wearing the same color scheme.
We wear the same thing all the time.
Oh, you do?
It's usually jeans and some black something.
Oh.
But do you change right away when that happens? It's embarrassing.
We don't. Kim, is that to Wendy or to me?
No, to Wendy. Do you change?
We typically, you know, I've seen a couple of family pictures, like if we're going to a concert or something, and Dylan, my youngest, usually wears shorts and a black t-shirt of some sort, band t-shirt.
Yeah.
Michael's always in jeans. I'm almost always in jeans.
Yeah.
And if it's summer, Jim's in cargo shorts. But we typically all have like a black top on.
Oh.
So I don't care.
Everyone's on board with that, though?
We don't plan it.
Because, Kim, haven't you at some point, you and Stuart are going out, and you look at each other, and you go, uh-oh, we're wearing the exact same color scheme.
Oh, yeah.
Someone's got to change.
Somebody's got to change now.
Yes. That happens, I would say, once a week with Terry and me. There's like a white shirt that I have. You've seen
it.
It's a button-down shirt.
A polo brand, I believe.
Yeah, it is Ralph Lauren. So she has an almost identical shirt, and there have been times where, you know, it's like a khaki-colored shorts and then the white shirt and the same blue shirt underneath, and we go, this looks like we planned this. We can't possibly go out this way.
Well, that's exactly the same.
That's exactly, yeah.
I've never really...
And I'm wearing Jimmy Choo shoes, and she'll go, hey, we're wearing the same shoes.
Okay, well, Bill, this is a psychological experiment here, but,
yes.
Like, do your twins end up doing that more often because they're twins?
Their fashion style couldn't be more different. Okay. I've never worn...
Well, they're fraternal twins, so they're like brother... I mean, like they're sisters.
Yeah.
As opposed to identical twins, which...
But we never... Like, when we found out we were having twins, these were the two rules we made for ourselves. We're not going to give them rhyming names immediately, and we're never going to dress them the same. And we
stuck... Like those rules.
You have to, because then it's too cute, you know?
Well, they're individuals.
Yeah, right.
So you don't have any white shorts?
I have one pair of white shorts because one time I was a guest, a friend of mine who belonged to a country club invited me to play at his country club. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And I realized I don't have, cause the notice said, I got this thing in the mail from him inviting me to play with him at this tennis club, this very exclusive tennis club, like way above my pay grade, way above, like, even rich people are like, I can't get into this club. It's like way too exclusive for my tastes. And it said only white tennis attire in like a bold face.
Yeah,
you know,
all caps and
like
bold.
They're not messing around. It's all white all the time. That's it. So I had to go out and buy a white tennis shirt and white shorts and white everything.
You already have white shoes.
Yeah.
Did you get a white baseball cap? They didn't let you wear a baseball cap.
I don't think I wore a baseball cap. I don't think I could wear a baseball cap.
I think they said no.
Yeah, right.
You did wear a great headband that day, though, didn't you? Like the Andre Agassi headband.
Yes, 1973. That was hard to find. And then I also had to take my bank statement and have it multiplied by 100. It was a false document, but I had to show them that. Look at, I'm in the same price range as you fellas. It's like the richest bunch of people. And you know
how'd you do that day?
Because
I don't imagine you felt very comfortable.
I was very uncomfortable. And you know what I found out? And I didn't know this about you, the richest of the rich. They only refer to each other by last names. Nobody calls each other by their first names at all. Like the whole time I was there, because I was there an hour before the match because they walk you around. I think they were trying to see if I would fit in with them to belong there, but I don't...
I didn't want to belong,
and I can't imagine ever making the amount of money that those people all made there. They were all extremely rich guys. It was strange. But they'd walk me around, and this was the conversation as they'd see each other walking down the hallways. Anderson, Phillips. You know, they would just say each other, they would nod at each other. They would see each other. They would just say each other's last name and nod. And I go, I don't know.
That's like Caddyshack at the club there.
That's exactly what it was like. And I would, if I'm going to talk to somebody, I want to have a more substantial conversation than just say the person's last name, you know?
Yeah,
but nobody called each other by their first names at all the whole time.
I have a tennis song for you that I just found on YouTube, and I got to be honest with you, I don't know if there's... maybe we should pre-listen to it. I don't think the delay works on the stream.
This is the stream. You can swear in a song. It's all right.
Well, I want to inspire
you. All right, go ahead. Who's the song by?
It's a clubby tennis song. It's by MF. Maybe I don't trust it.
I can say the name.
All right, I don't
Does MF mean what I think it means?
It just says MF.
I know, but when I hear those letters, I know what it is.
All right, how about
this? Get ready to get it up and get it on, because here comes the tennis song. Let's go to the tennis tournament and hit our tennis balls. Let's go to the tennis tournament and hear the linesman's calls. Forehand, backhand, volley serve. You will need a lot of nerve. Let's go to the tennis tournament and hit a ball in the grass. Let's go to Wimbledon and blast it low ball and fast. Right hand, left hand, what a plan. Come on out and see the man. Let's go to the tennis tournament and hit a lob overhead.
This should really be your theme song.
Is that The Weeknd?
No, this is... Oh. this is on YouTube, Jasmine. Paul Treluski.
Oh, he should not be allowed to record.
Oh, my God. This should be your song.
That makes me not want
to
play tennis.
The tennis tournament.
I think, Jazz, I'm going to be in tomorrow.
There he is.
I changed my mind. I'm going to co-host with Wendy.
He's got a nice little accordion. And
he does look cute with his red glasses.
Paul Treluski. That should be your ringtone. That should be your theme for life.
How much would it psych out the guy I'm playing tomorrow if before I'd say, hey, I know this sounds weird, but anytime I play tennis before I play, there's a song that we need to play. It's like my national anthem before they start a professional sporting event. And then I just stand there with my hat in my hand over my heart as we play that song over a boombox.
Let's hit our tennis balls. Let's go to the tennis tournament. Hear the linesman's calls.
Nice.
Forehand, backhand, volley serve.
That's both inspiring and disgusting at the same time. I don't remember the last time I heard a song that made me sick to my stomach yet go, a little bit more. Just a little bit more.
Let's go to Wimbledon.
Can I hear after the Wimbledon verse?
Sure. Yep.
Right hand, left hand, what a plan. Come on out and see the man.
The left.
Let's go to the tennis tournament and hit a lob overhead.
It is ironic that he says right hand, left hand, because as you know, Wendy, I'm ambidextrous, and I do switch hands during the match. Depending on which side the ball is hit to, I'll do it to my left hand or my right hand. That's almost as though he wrote that just for me.
It's called the tennis song, but the parenthetical title is Ode to Bill.
Well, you know what's so funny about that is it sounds like kind of like bluegrass,
yes.
Like hillbilly music. Yeah. I'm not sure how many people.
It's so just an accordion.
Enjoy tennis.
Right. All right. Wait, I got to hear more. See why you get sucked down the YouTube rabbit hole?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You find something
Definitely.
And then it'll say, if you like this, you'll like this. And
right.
Then pretty soon you've wasted 5 hours.
There's not going to be, if anyone liked this, it should just say, go lay down, not listen to more videos or watch more videos.
Can I tell you something?
You've got a problem.
Right now, there are only 18,941 views
of this.
Yes, if people look up the tennis song by Paul Treluski, I'll bet you by tomorrow that's up over
18,005. Don't you think?
Yeah,
this is some of his best work, by the way.
I gotta hear the rest.
I like his early stuff.
I'm sorry. Hang on.
Let's go to the French Open and bounce it in the clay red. Hot hand, cold hand, roll the dice.
I don't know what that means. I play tennis and he's throwing out terms that I don't know what it means. Hot hand, cold hand. What? What is he talking about?
Up until now,
I don't know what he means.
Everything made sense. This, I think, he's just...
He's just saying words now. It doesn't make any sense at
all. Almost finished. I got to hear the end of it.
Go on.
Ball with slice. Let's go to the Aussie Open and boy, that sure makes nice.
It rhymes.
My hand, your hand, wham a jam. Come on out and be a fan. Let's go to the tennis.
No one says wham a jam in tennis. How'd you do? I totally wham a jammed it. That's how I did. I also wham a jammed it. He's finding words that
well,
rhyme.
Well, he's filling it in with other
it's
things.
It's like the Adam Sandler School of Songwriting. Does it rhyme?
Better.
Yes. Does it make sense? No.
This is better than Adam Sandler. Come on.
It's more
and
pure.
Here's the thing, Paul Treluski, author and performer of The Tennis Song.
The Tennis Song.
Maybe you should shorten it. Like, See, I feel you're stretching a bit to get all these verses in.
Right.
Like, at first, I really loved it and was intrigued.
Your complaint with the song is that it's just a tad too long.
It's only a minute 56.
That's too long.
But, I mean, I think I got it's almost over.
All right.
My kick, sir. Let's go to the U.S. Open and watch them learn to turn. High hand, low hand, girl in tights. Watch that gal hit under the lights. Let's go to the tennis tournament and hit our tennis balls. Let's go to the tennis tournament and hit our tennis balls.
Bam, bam.
Jazz hands.
Jazz hands for everybody. Wow.
That was for you. That's our little tribute and wishing you luck.
I don't know what to say. It's
the tennis song, Paul Treluski. Look it up. We'd like to see it get over 18,941 views. I'm taking a picture to see what influence
see how,
we have.
Yeah, you'll change it. I bet you'll change it by a lot. It's almost like tennis's version of Casey at the Bat, isn't it? You know, when they wrote Casey at the Bat, everybody went, I don't know, is this the ultimate poem about baseball? And it turned out to be. I think Paul just pulled off the ultimate tennis song. There's not that many.
No, there really aren't.
There's one, and we just played all of them. That's it.
Tennis
doesn't inspire. Like, there's other sports that inspire music. I don't know that tennis does that, Wendy.
There's
Here Come the Hawks says, when you hear Here Come the Hawks, you go, I want to watch me some hockey right now.
Right.
That song makes me not want to play tennis anymore.
No, it doesn't.
Throw my racket away.
Well, now when we get the tennis update on Monday, which we're going to be in complete suspense all weekend.
Yeah. Stay away from Twitter, because you're going to see results all over Twitter.
You don't tweet.
No, I don't. But the fans, you know, I have no control over what they tweet. Who knows what they'll say?
Maybe Paul Treluski will be there. Is that his name?
Maybe.
I can't even remember the poor guy's name.
Yeah, Paul Treluski. He'll probably be out there.
Well, he might be.
All the stars you see, you know, if you watch Wimbledon or the U.S. Open and you see all the stars there watching, I imagine they'll be out there watching us, too. It'll be one guy from Chicago Fire might be accidentally there. That'll be about it.
That would be fun.
That would be.
All right, we're going to take a break. We are streaming right now. We will officially start.
This isn't even the bonus hour yet, Wendy. It gets better.
This is the bonus half hour
right.
Preceding the bonus hour.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break, and Kim Gordon has our news, and hope you're enjoying yourself. We wish Bill all the luck in the world.
Thank you, Wendy. That's very nice of you.
We're very proud of you.
I'll bring home a winner.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Will you autograph the tennis ball if you win?
No.
Mm-mm. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Kim. I hate to tell you this, Bill. It's Bill and Wendy, and I don't know where we are in the bonus area right now.
Well, normally the bonus hour, Wendy, as you know, is a 60-minute hour, but today, because of White Sox baseball, it's extended. It's a 90-minute bonus hour.
Can I say I just did the first full-blown newscast on the stream with you guys?
Fantastic.
Yay!
It was flawless.
It was flawless.
Yeah.
That deserves this.
All right, everybody. Get ready to get it up and get it on, because here comes the tennis song. Let's go to the tennis tournament and hit our tennis balls.
Bill, I hate to hurt you like this
before you play.
Someone said it's better than your Jake Arrieta song. You should have seen his shoulders just went downward.
That's just sad.
Let's go to the tennis.
Although, it would be a nice companion piece, like if we were to put out an EP of different sports songs.
Yeah, extra poopy.
That's mean. That's just mean.
I'm just trying to spark you for your game tomorrow.
Can I tell you something? Speaking of music, has there ever been a song? I know this is a strange question, but follow along.
All right.
Has there ever been a song that in your head you're sure it is sung by somebody? Like you go, oh yeah, that song, I know who sings that. And you're positive you know who sings it. And then you find out that you've been living a lie, that the person or group that you thought sang it has nothing to do with it whatsoever.
Well, we brought this up. What song was it earlier? We were talking about it on the air, and you thought that it was a woman when it wasn't.
Oh, there's a Todd Rundgren song that I always thought was Carole King.
in the light. When you saw...
Yeah. I was sure that was Carole King.
It sounded just like... And it's Todd Rundgren. And also, right. Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart, sounds like Rod Stewart to me.
But did you think it was Rod Stewart? Like, when that song would come on the air, you'd go, oh, here's a Rod Stewart song I like.
I guess maybe the first couple times when I didn't know who it was.
Yeah.
I don't know
and
if
then
I
eventually
really
saw it. You probably saw the video and went, well, that's not Rod Stewart. That's somebody else.
I probably knew it more. You mean like an actual being fooled?
All right. Here's why I bring this up. There's a song that I have been hearing for 15 years. And if you said to me who sang that song, I would bet the house on it. I'd go, oh, I know who sings that song, and here's who it is. And I'll play you the song to see, because I know I'm probably the only one who fell for this. I'm sure you're smart. You know who sings this. But I did not.
It's not an intelligence factor.
No, but I'm around the radio fairly enough to have figured out that it's not who I thought it was. So here's a little bit of the song. It's a song. It's a very recognizable song. But you tell me who sings it, all right? Because I'm just going to prove that I'm the only one who thinks it was somebody else. Here's a little bit of the song. Listen. Runaway Train, obviously. Who sings this song? Do you know?
Originally?
Yeah.
Yeah. We played them on Q101 all the time.
Yeah.
Runaway Train, Don't Tell Me. I can't think of who it is. Soul Asylum.
It's Soul Asylum. Very, very good. Do you know who I thought it was every time I ever heard it ever until 2 days
Turn
ago?
Turn it up a little. Turn it up.
All right.
Sounds.
What I tell you, I hope you'll agree. I hope you'll agree. I might be wrong.
Phyllis Diller?
Yes. Sounds like Phyllis Diller singing Runaway Train. I was positive. Like, not just partially positive, but 100% positive. Play a little bit more of it.
Yeah, I'll control it here on this side.
Tom Petty.
It does sound like...
Positive.
It is not... Listen, Tom Petty, God rest his soul, had...
Asylum.
There's no way that's Tom Petty. I mean, it has the same affectation, but Tom Petty had this strong, robust, wonderful voice. This is a weak little flimsy voice in comparison.
Now, Wendy, the surprise was I brought Soul Asylum here.
That's fine. They would agree.
But it's not only in my head does it sound like Tom Petty, but it's totally his style. Like, the song is about a runaway train, which is a metaphor, and that's exactly what Tom Petty would have done. Like, everything about it. And when Tom Petty died, a moment of silence, I was shocked that nobody included Runaway Train. Whenever they were talking about the greatest Tom Petty songs, I go, no one's going to mention Runaway Train? Really? It's such a great song? No one? But it's because it wasn't his. It was Soul Asylum. So that's why they're not mentioning it.
I think I do hear the comparison, but I think it's a slam to Tom Petty.
It's all right.
It's a weaker version of Petty's robust voice.
Knowing that it's not Tom Petty, then you go, oh, okay, it's similar, but it's not the same. But when you think it is Tom Petty, and I'm telling you, Wendy, I was 100% positive. Every time I heard it, I'm like, yeah, that fits perfectly into his catalog of music.
It does sound like a Tom Petty song.
Yeah. Yeah.
The arrangement and everything. But
everything.
The vocals
are not as strong. But, you know, maybe Tom Petty every once in a while had a day where he's like, I only got 80% in me.
He wouldn't have recorded on that day, though.
No. Did you ever hear Tom Petty's version of the tennis song?
No.
Did you ever hear that?
And if he was
it's beautiful.
All right.
So beautiful.
That's all right. I have another one for you.
What's another one?
I think you know who sings this.
All right.
But it might sound like someone else.
Okay.
Let's see. You know, these places like all these websites will give you something to play, and then when you go
There's
to click
commercial.
On it, no, when you click on it, sometimes they haven't given permission to let you do it. It was a Matthew Sweet song, I've Been Waiting.
I'm not sure I know that one.
Jazz, can you find I've Been Waiting by Matthew Sweet, and then I want to see if you...
Who you thought it sounded like, or who it does kind of sound like?
Who it does sound like.
Yeah.
I am I like to pride myself on knowing who's singing what.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully we're all like that. Do you think Soul Asylum set out to do a Tom Petty singing or a Tom Petty type song, or it just played out that way?
Well, maybe Tom Petty was an inspiration to them, and when they wrote an original song, they had glimpses of Tom Petty.
Yeah, it could be. All right.
Were you able to find it, Jasmine?
This is Matthew Sweet?
Yeah.
All right. What's the name of it?
I've Been Waiting.
When you said to me, you are not so old, did I know it then?
Wait till the chorus and then I want to sing.
All right.
I had just been told, I didn't think I'd find you perfect in so many ways. That I've been waiting, I want to have you.
Does it sound at all like the Birds to you?
I want to.
It sounds just like the Birds. David Crosby, Chris Hillman, Roger McGuinn.
A little bit.
It's very jangly guitars, yeah. Like the Birds.
I can kind of see it, yeah.
All right, there's another one here.
Right.
These are other people figuring it out, so I want to
make sure. Other people who heard a song and thought it was a different artist. It's not just me who suffers from that.
No, it happens
usually,
to everyone.
You know, if there's a song that I go, I'm not positive who that is, I'll do a little research, you know, and then I'll know it. But with this one, I didn't feel the need to, because every time I heard Runaway Train, I go, there's Tom Petty. Boy, I miss Tom Petty with the Runaway. I miss him. And then it's not him.
Yeah, I knew that one. Well, plus, we played that. Like when we worked at Q101, we had to play that song like every 10 minutes.
I may have called. At some point,
no,
I might
didn't.
Have said, here's Tom Petty
no,
with Runaway
you
Train. You don't think? I think that's why we got fired from Q101. I think I misidentified that song.
All right. I love this song. We played this a lot when we were on Q101, too. And in fact, I added it. I made a, like a
Is
weird
that your mixtape?
No. Benjamin Netanyahu was in the news for something, and do you remember?
Yeah, we changed the song so it said Netanyahu.
Right,
I remember that.
All right, this is Space Hog.
Oh, boy.
In the meantime.
That's a band that just vanished, huh? I remember this song.
I want to get to the vocals, not just the ooing, and tell me if it sounds like someone.
All right.
Mainly lead vocals.
All right.
And I can kind of hear it here.
Already? Just in the ooh?
Yeah, if somebody suggests something, I'm pretty bad. I can fall right for it.
All right.
Does that sound like Axl to you? Axl Rose?
Yes. It does. Yeah, it does. Because it's the same. When you have the ability to take your vocals within a syllable, way up, way down, way up, way down, Axl Rose does do that. So does the guy from Space Hog.
Yeah, I don't
Boss
know.
Boss Hog. That's the lead singer of Space Hog, Boss Hog.
All right, that's another one. I think Soul Asylum sounds more like Tom Petty than this sounds like Axl Rose.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
That might be all I have. Listeners, if you have any...
Boy, that band, though, Space Hog, they were so... I mean, I know the music industry. I know how it works. You're a hit one minute, you're vanished the next, but they just fell off the planet, didn't they?
I think they're still performing.
Are they still working? Yeah?
I'm not... And I swear I'm not saying this to sound like I'm slamming you, but when's the last time you've been to a show? It's been a while, right?
Yeah. I can't remember the last time, but it's been years.
And I don't really go to too many anymore either, because I'm old. So we wouldn't know that, but I want to see if they're still touring. I thought I saw that they were on some...
I think the last show I saw, Wendy, boy, it's been 2 months already. I did a six-titty... six-titty tour.
Thank God we're on the stream.
I did a six-titty tour with 2 Chainz.
To crash open and bounce it in a clay red...
Yeah, 2 Chainz called me out of the blue one day, and he goes, hey, I'm doing 6 cities. Are you in? I go, am I in? And I was packed and ready to go a minute later.
Who's 2 Chainz?
2 Chainz.
Who's that?
Jasmine, can you believe this?
Who's
Are you as
Chainz?
Embarrassed as I am? No, we can't. I can't hear you, Jazz. I don't know. 2 Chainz is one of our...
Go ahead, Jazz.
Okay. Am I here now?
Yeah, now you're
testing
here.
Testing 1, 2,
yeah.
3, 4. Yeah. Wendy, I thought you knew about 2 Chainz.
He's the best.
Who are you pulling the wool over my eyes, both of you together?
No.
This is a real rapper. I'm not
he's
joking.
He's outstanding.
Does he wear 2 Chainz?
That's exactly why he calls himself 2 Chainz. On days where he doesn't wear 2 Chainz, they don't even introduce him. He just shows up. No name. 2 Chainz. With a Z at the end, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the way you do it.
If you have songs, I'm
His sister Necklace sometimes opens for him. She just comes out and plays a song, Necklace, and then, ladies and gentlemen, 2 Chainz. He shows up.
This sounds like the joke I said. There's a baseball player. His last name is Danish.
Really?
I swear to God, it's the Sox or the Cubs.
They've got a guy whose name is Danish?
His last name, it's like Rob Danish or something. And I said to Jim, my husband, I said, hey, do you know who his cousin is? And he goes, Bill Cheese? And I said, nope, Willie Bagel.
Oh, that's good stuff.
That's what I do. This is like what you're doing.
That's solid stuff.
Sister Necklace or cousin, I mean.
His younger sister, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yep.
I always thought it was Macy Gray singing Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls, but it's TLC.
Oh, that does. I know the song.
I don't know either of them.
And it is very Macy Gray sounding. If you heard it, you would know that song. That got a lot of airplay.
I'm trying to look. Some of these other things.
Too hard? Or a lot of them just too obscure?
Maybe too obscure. The Ryan Lewis Macklemore song, Downtown.
I think I know that song.
It's Eric Nally from Foxy Shazam.
I don't know
Very
who that is.
Freddie Mercury-like. You could not convince me it wasn't a woman originally.
No.
There are some things, but I mean, once you hear actually nowadays you just have something on your, the screen in your car that says who the artist
is. That's how I found out the Runaway Train wasn't Tom.
Just
I thought they
recently
got it
you
2 days
that?
Ago. 2 Chainz days ago. I'm driving along and I hear the Runaway Train song and I'm like, oh good, some Tom Petty. That I haven't heard. I like him. And then I look at the screen and it doesn't say Tom Petty. And I go, well, they obviously made a mistake. But no, it was Soul Asylum. That's Who's the fool now?
You still.
My streak remains intact. I get another month of dues on the house. Just very happy to find that out.
I can't find any more. Because now I want to find more songs that you think.
That you thought were somebody else. I'm hard-pressed to think of too many other ones. Because like I said, usually if there's one like that, I'm like, well, I should look this up. So I should know who sings this.
But, I mean, not even, like, where you're completely fooled, but maybe that they just sound alike.
Do you remember when MTV first started, there was this weird... They were playing videos of new bands. MTV wanted to find bands that were new and fresh and video-friendly, but they were also filtering in other bands that had been played a bit. It wasn't all new bands. They were getting some older bands. So every once in a while, a band would show up on MTV, and you never saw them before, and you'd see them, and you'd go, oh, no, they can't. Is that... Those are the guys? They don't look like the guys in my head. Like, you'd imagine what that band looked like, then all of a sudden they were on there playing, and you go, well, that's a surprise. I thought that they would look quite different.
Well, that's, even with when we were growing up and I'd listen to Captain Whammo or John Records Landecker, you'd see a picture of them because there was no internet. Every once in a while you'd get like the Silver Dollar Survey or something and they'll have a picture of somebody.
Right.
And you're like, wow, I didn't know they looked like that because you get your own image going when you're just hearing a voice.
Yeah, I guess so.
This is a song that I did mention.
Yeah, this is Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Which
somebody did a remake of this a couple years ago, and it was really good.
Well, I know that she came out of hiding. She wasn't in hiding, but when the eclipse happened last year, was it last year already?
Yeah, last year.
They played this as it was going, so there was a resurgence in this song.
Of Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah, because I can't imagine she was still performing. I just want to hear the one part, because she sounds just like...
Rod Stewart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. He sounds like an old woman now when he sings.
Rod Stewart does?
He sounds like a woman.
Huh. Is she British or American?
I think she's British.
Is she? Very raspy.
I guess she doesn't really sound like Rod Stewart.
Not like Rod Stewart. Martha Stewart? Are you thinking of Martha Stewart? Dave Stewart?
No, I was thinking of Two Neck
Stewart
Chains.
Granger? Two Chains.
Phil's doing gang signs in here, Jasmine. Help me.
I don't think I should say this. I'm not going to say it, no.
Jazz, say some of it. And if it gets dangerous, okay, we'll tell you to stop saying it.
You know the reference of Two Chains, right? His former name had to do something with the body part that Bill might have said earlier.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, when you were talking about your city tour?
Two city tour. You have to be very careful when you say that.
Two city tour.
Clap of thunder and lightning. So his name used for a part or parts of the female anatomy.
Hamina. That would be your rapper name. Hamina.
It just had a hamina name and then the boy at the end.
So, that was his name for a while?
Yep.
Oh, that's
like
something.
Like T-Boy?
Chess Boy. Let's just say that, Chess Boy.
Really? B-O-I or B-O-Y?
B-O-I.
That's what we rappers do, Wendy. We change the spelling just enough so people know what we're talking about, but it's kickier. That's how we do it.
You just crack me
That's
up
how
sometimes.
It's done in the rap game. That's always how we do it. This is how we do it.
What has happened to you? Quit doing that. You look so stupid. He's doing the sideways peace sign, like, yo.
Yeah.
And you look really silly, and you're making a funny face. I can't take that from you. You should be embarrassed.
I'm in a gang.
What? Our gang?
The Wilmette Tuffies. Jealous?
No.
All right.
Not at all.
Nope.
Somebody says that I look like Bonnie Tyler. I had 80s hair like that. It was big.
Did you, in the 80s, did you look like Bonnie Tyler?
I don't know. I didn't try to.
But that was a legitimate look, right?
I guess. I don't know. I wanted to look more like...
Tousled hair.
Tousled?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the look that I'm... My hair is my hair, and whatever happens, happens. Like that?
No, I worked really hard on my hair. I don't think I look like her at all.
Oh.
That's an old picture.
That was like feathered. The picture you're showing me, it's feathered. It's Rod Stewart. She looks more like Rod Stewart than she sounds like Rod Stewart.
Yeah, I think so.
And she does look British to me.
I think she is British, because... British.
British?
She's British. Yeah. No one had heard from her, and then everybody was talking about the eclipse, and everybody played that song, which, quite honestly, is not a fit. I know the word eclipse is there, but it wasn't an eclipse of the heart.
No, but there's not many songs that use the word eclipse, so she was the go-to. But the same thing happened with Steve Perry with the White Sox. You know, he was out there, but nobody was really showing any interest in finding him. And then when the White Sox won the World Series and they used his song, everybody's like, oh, man, what about Steve Perry? Let's find him. He was all over the place.
I just read that he's doing a solo tour. He has new music.
I love him. He's got a great voice. I thought he sang Runaway Train until recently. And I realized it was solo album. Two Chains told me.
Oh, Sherry.
Yeah. That's a killer voice. He's got a great voice.
He's got a great voice, but it really worked with the actual band as well.
You don't think on his own it'll play?
I don't know. He had a solo career for a while, didn't he? Here's a little solo of Steve Perry. It's called No Erasin'. No Erasin'. He's still got a good voice.
I'm mixed on this.
Well, you don't necessarily like the song.
Yeah,
but
right.
His voice, he hasn't made an album in more than 20 years, either as a solo artist or with Journey. This is the new single. Hang on.
Forth. I like it for a while, and then I don't, and then I do.
It's an October 5th release. What year is this?
A couple of years ago, he just kept showing up at clubs and doing guest sets. I saw a video of him doing that, and I kept thinking, good for him. I hope he's back. I want him to be back. I like him.
This is what's sad. I don't know if he has, if there's an age here. He had a tour that was scrapped after he sustained a hip injury.
Oh.
That is like...
That's something that would happen to your uncle.
I know, but all of these rock and roll giants are... I mean, what is Mick Jagger, 70-something?
He's in his 70s, yes.
How does he not break a hip?
I don't know.
I mean, I know he's slight.
He's very bony.
But he moves.
If he broke a hip, I think his body would snap in half. You'd have to remember on Iron Giant, where the top of Iron Giant, you could put it on the bottom half?
Yeah.
I think that would happen to Mick Jagger. You'd have to reassemble him. It's his reassembly tour.
Well, what do you think? Does he still have it?
I can't. I need to hear more, because not just this one song, but because the parts I like are like reminiscent of his older songs. But I don't want him to be one of those guys who changes and goes in a different direction, because I liked his direction.
That's his direction. It's just he's older.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes Robert Plant, still sounds great, but he can't hit those high notes anymore.
I know.
And Steve Perry hit some pretty high notes.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He did start out a little something like this, though. Did you hear his S's?
I was hearing that, too.
A little bit at the beginning.
Does that indicate he may have had some orthodontry done?
No, I don't think so.
No?
Oh, you think he has dentures?
I don't know.
I wonder. Maybe. I don't know. I just think he's older.
Yeah.
Somebody says they always mix up Tom Petty and John Fogerty. That was a similar sound as well. The old man down the road.
Yeah, I could see where that might be a little bit confusing. Sure. Yeah.
It was on HQ Trivia, which I suck at, by the way. I've been trying to play every night. I can't get back. I think my most out of 12 questions is I think I got 6 right.
You're halfway there.
Yeah, but
it's not bad.
They start out so easy, and then I'm just ashamed at my... so quick, you have to make a decision, and it just brings me back to school when you look at a multiple choice, and you're right away, your absolute instinct tells you one thing, but then the minute you start thinking about it, mm-hmm. you talk yourself out mm-hmm. of it. Every time now on this HQ Trivia, if I should have just gone with my gut, I would have been right.
Every expert at things like this always say, go with your first instinct,
right.
always.
Somebody said that on HQ Trivia, the riff from Nirvana's Smell Like Teen Spirit is similar to the riff from Boston's More Than a Feeling.
Oh, it is.
And yes, I can see
there's
that.
There's no doubt about that.
Here's one for you. I'm 57, and up until maybe a couple of weeks ago, I thought the song Winning by Santana was Steve Winwood.
Oh, no doubt about it.
No doubt
no
about it.
No doubt about it. Yeah, that I can easily see that one.
Yeah, this is a great song. I just, Dan Rather just interviewed, I'm hooked on that Access TV show.
Yeah.
But Dan Rather just interviewed Carlos Santana and it got really serious because Carlos Santana was abused by, a male family member when he was younger.
Oh, I didn't know that. And he's obviously talking about it with Dan Rather. Wow.
And he wants to just say you think it's your fault and it's not.
Yeah.
It was really a remarkable interview.
Yeah.
All right, Carlos
is
not
winning.
Doing the singing, though.
I was on the ground when I needed a hand and it couldn't be found. I was so far down that I couldn't get up.
So who is this really singing?
I don't know the name of the Santana singer.
No.
Carlos is a guitar player, but it has a Winwood feel to it.
Oh, very much. Yeah, I could easily see that. Yeah,
all
that
right.
One's easy.
Well, that's it. Bill thought Runaway Train by...
Soul Asylum was Tom Petty, and it would have... Honestly, if somebody said $1,000, I would have... Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely Tom Petty. Nope. Not even a little bit. I think when Tom Petty died and you and I were going through, we were mentioning our favorite songs, I think I said Runaway Train. Because it wouldn't be my favorite Tom Petty song, but it would have been my top 5, except that he didn't sing it. So now I have to reevaluate that. I'm glad they didn't ask me to speak at Tom Petty's funeral. I would have made a fool out of myself. How come nobody gives him credit for Runaway Train? Huh? Is it just me? Nobody. That would have been ugly. All right, why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break. Judy Pilak will join us. She'll get you the news. And then there's more of us, Bill and Wendy. It's the bonus hour.
Carlos Santana, honestly, one of the best guitarists ever. One of the, not the best, but Alex Ligertwood.
That's your lead singer on Santana?
Yeah, and I was just watching a live Santana concert on that Access TV, and this guy is still singing with him. Mm-hmm. I think it was a fairly recent concert. So, yeah, Carlos Santana didn't do, and like Ted Nugent didn't sing on his first album at all. He played Hey Baby was a big hit for off his first album.
And it's not him.
It was like Derek St. John, Derek St. Holmes or something.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't him singing. He just played a guitar.
Oh.
So, kind of a weird thing. But yes, Alex.
You weren't going to do that in the news, were you, Jude?
Not today.
Okay, good.
You saw Santana.
I did at Taste of Chicago.
How many years ago was
just
that?
Just a couple, maybe three, four years
Holding
ago.
Holding up pretty well. They still sound good.
Yeah, they sounded great. It was packed.
Yeah.
It was really a good concert.
Yeah,
and it was
I can imagine.
Yeah, they were at Ravinia as well. It's a great band, and you forget, like, Oye Como Va. I mean, really, all these songs that you hear. It's like they were huge hits.
Oh, yeah.
You know every word to it, whether you want to believe it or not.
Yep. If you're up to this, I found this thing on Reader's Digest.
I love Reader's Digest.
These are things that make you older.
Laughter, the best medicine.
Laughter is not the best medicine, Wendy. Wendy. Dear Judy, that's Wendy. Penicillin is actually the best medicine. If you're doing any of these things, according to Reader's Digest, and I would argue if you're reading Reader's Digest, I think maybe you're older.
The first thing I thought of when you said that.
But I read it as a kid. I loved reading it.
Did you really?
You didn't subscribe to it.
Right.
It was
my grandparents.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, everybody's grandparents.
Or the doctor's office or wherever I happen to be.
But in the doctor's office, they were ones from 11 years ago. They weren't modern-day Reader's Digest.
Yeah, I still read them, and then I still laughed. Ha-ha, I already spread that one. But
do you remember Reader's Digest for years did a series where it would be like, I am Jane's backbone, or it would be somebody's name and then a body part, and then it was written from the point of view of that body part, and it would tell you what that body part did.
That sounds familiar.
That went on for years.
Yeah.
And it was never interesting, ever once. Because everyone's like,
I found all the articles. You know what? Now that I think about it, I read a lot when I was younger.
Yeah.
But stuff I probably shouldn't have been reading, but.
All right, see how you guys stack up on these. According to Reader's Digest, again, these are things that they say make you appear to be older. You wear clothes that don't fit. I'm guessing baggier. Not tighter, right? Probably baggier, right?
No.
No,
well, young
way?
People do that, too. Believe me, I see them walking on Michigan Avenue all the time.
Yeah, that's not an age thing to me. That is just like someone hasn't helped with your fashion flair.
Right. You just gave up?
Yeah.
No, I can totally see that.
Yeah.
As old?
Yes, and it is baggier, yeah. People get smaller. I'm shrinking.
Yeah.
You get smaller, not so much skinnier, but... I'm kind of happy about that. But anyway, I can totally see that. Totally.
But normally to the baggier side, rarely to the tighter side,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, right. I think it's just because older people don't buy new clothes,
I guess.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, yeah. You wear chunky jewelry.
No, that's back again.
Is that back in style?
You go in and out.
But if it is, I totally get that, too.
Yeah.
Again, come on. This is Reader's Digest, not Vogue.
Right. Right.
So I don't know
Vogue
if I
would
agree.
Be more trustworthy in this department, right?
I don't believe it. Vogue.
Not me, but I mean, chunky jewelry is totally, I mean, it's totally comeback.
I get the chunky jewelry, of course. But like a nice looking older woman would wear the chunky jewelry.
And I'm not that old, and I would wear chunky jewelry.
Oh, it's okay, too, but I know.
Does chunky jewelry just mean like ornate, like costume jewelry? What does it mean?
Like bigger.
Bigger, like bigger's better.
Bigger and
Gaudier.
You were going to say that, yeah.
More
well, glitzier, I was going to say. You know what it is about chunky? You're right. I have friends who wear chunky jewelry. I just never wear it.
I don't wear it either, but I wear a pin
or
something.
Yeah, I appreciate it if it works, if you do it right. Totally.
Yeah.
And who does it right is mostly older.
All right.
Kind of
more
really,
matronly.
But nice looking women.
Yeah,
matronly
right.
aren't going to wear
no.
jewelry.
No? No?
And they seem to be taller, too.
Why do you say that, Jude?
I think because I'm smaller, I wouldn't wear chunky jewelry.
Right, because it would.
Yeah.
You need to be a bigger body, yeah. A taller body.
I will defend Reader's Digest to the death.
So far, you're all right. That's fine.
Not that I agree.
Reader's Digest says if you're doing these things, you're probably looking older. I don't know about this one, Wendy. You're going to be angry when you hear this one. You only wear dark clothing.
I don't agree with that either.
She's angry.
I'm sorry. No.
I told you she'd get angry.
Seriously, you guys, I do the Stitch Fix thing where they send you things.
Oh, you do?
I've been doing it for a long time. And sometimes they get me, sometimes they don't. And I say I like earth tones and dark colors. So every once in a while, they'll send me something pink. And I try it on. And in my eyes, I'm like, I look like an older woman in like a pink top.
Mm-hmm. But other people probably are like, you look good.
Yeah, I don't think that determines whether you're young or old. Do you? I think gaudy cruise wear is usually very bright.
Actually, I would have thought that would have been the opposite. Older people used to wear brighter, more floral clothes as you get older. But
this will sound crazy, but I'll say it anyway.
Everything you say sounds
crazy. I always quit.
And you say it anyway.
Yeah, I'm still going to say it. Like, based on what both of you just said, there's something about anchors. Now, I like anchors because I like nautical things. But whenever I think of anyone, if somebody said, a woman came in and she was wearing a shirt and it just had anchors on it, I'd go, she was 73, 74, right? I don't think of anyone young wearing anything with anchors on it.
That's cruise wear. There are certain shops you can go in and it's like, I know people that say they're going to their church's blackjack night. They'll go find a sweater that has like aces on it.
Yeah,
it's like, cruise wear to me.
Yeah. Although, I did just take Luke, my senior at University of Iowa, shopping over the summer, and I was pushing an anchor shirt on
you
him.
You were?
And I think it only had like one anchor, though, I feel like.
Oh.
But, it was a very expensive maker.
And he said no because why?
I don't know. It was a short sleeve button down. Yeah. It was a really good color. But it was like not Tommy Bahama, but it was some. We were at the outlet mall, but it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
And so I feel like not only is that could that be an older person, but also a very conservative person who would wear who would wear the sweater still
tied around the
room. Is it Nautica or something?
Luke would never go in there. But it was someone. But it had an anchor, and it was that specific fashion designer. I feel like is nautical.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right. You're thinking of a polyester, a bunch of them. You're not thinking of.
I know that
you?
My mom had a couple of tops that she would wear that have anchors, and I'd always say, "Mom, this makes you look so old." You know.
Yeah.
And
I think anchors were a thing in the past. Maybe
that symbol.
Yeah.
That's where anchors away.
Anchors away came from there.
But I'll bet there's a time in the past, few decades where anchor clothes were
but
popular.
But I love nautical stuff. I love it. But there's just something about seeing that on in clothing.
Well, what else would you wear besides anchors? Like fishing poles?
Why do you have to have a...
He said he loves nautical stuff.
Well, the colors of blue, navy blue and white.
I like that.
For a sweater tied over his shoulders.
Yeah.
A seafaring hat. I don't even know what that is.
White shorts.
A croquet mallet. It's magical.
Dockers.
You wear low heels. That makes you older. Is that?
I agree. I can't wear low heels. They're just not comfortable. Yeah. I need some kind of heel.
Yeah.
But now you look at young people today, and
these kids with their low heels.
They're selling these little ballet flats in various colors that roll up in a ball and go in your purse. It's like it seems like younger kids today are wearing flats.
I have them on now.
Jasmine wears them a lot.
Flats, but you said low heels.
Low heels, yeah.
Isn't there a difference? He's talking about, like, I wear high heels or I wear flats.
Right.
I can't wear
high heels.
There's in between, though. That's what I would call a low heel. That little heel like this.
I'd
call it a chunky heel.
Chunky heels.
Aren't they kitten heels?
Kitten heels?
Yes, that's what they call them, too. Yes, that's what I think
that?
They're...
What's
they're skinny but short?
They're... No, you probably wear a heel like this. Like, what's that, 3 inches? Yeah, you have a wedge on. I love those shoes, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm talking about a heel that's just like, it's like a sensible heel. Oh. That's what we used to call it.
Sensible.
So,
what did the sensible refer to exactly? Why? What was sensible about them? You won't fall?
Like an inch and a half.
Yeah, it's...
So it's
with your sensible skirt. and you're
because you're walking. Although seriously, look at anybody who dresses up for work, which isn't us.
Mm-hmm.
Judy, yes, but not us. Mm-hmm. They wear gym shoes with their suits, and then they get to the office
at work.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I'll do the wedge across that bridge, and I'll regret every step.
Yeah, it's shaky.
Yeah. I have seen two people in the last couple of weeks wearing pajama tops, among the population. Like as the day goes on, because they're clearly pajama tops. There's no doubt about it. And I remember when I was in college, there was this movement. Every once in a while, kids would just wear their pajamas to class. And
who wears pajamas anymore?
I feel like there was just a viral video with someone.
Was somebody famous wearing pajamas?
Not famous, but doing something stupid.
Oh, really?
In a pajama top.
Yeah.
Was it that woman who went crazy in the workout place?
Oh, was she maybe wearing a pajama top? Maybe.
Because I just watched a video and I said, well, that's weird. Pajama top.
But this is the best fashion statement of the month for me. I pass by a bus stop and there's a guy who I would say is around 70. He may have been 15 to 20 pounds overweight. He's wearing a satin shirt that has the head of a tiger. The whole front of it is the head of a tiger. And the back of it is the back of the head of a tiger.
Oh, that's cool.
like that was this guy's way of saying to the world, go on, say something about my shirt. Go ahead.
And he just had that kind
of, yeah, it was like a real shiny.
Yeah, that's old 70s shirts. They made those.
And the tiger eyes were like a glowy emerald green. I mean, my intention was not to stare at this guy, but I couldn't stop looking at him. I'm going, wow, everyone's going to notice you.
Giving him one of these.
Yeah, you look hot, my tigery friend.
You
fantastic.
You are wearing that shirt.
But don't you kind of like that nowadays people can wear whatever they want?
Yeah,
I totally wear whatever I want. I mean, I do not.
You don't follow the rules.
Things I would never in a million years have done, even 10 years ago. I'm wearing this. This looks good.
Yeah.
I'll just throw things together.
You do a great job. You're very stylish. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's not. Yeah, thank you. But I just think it's because you can do that. I think you don't have to be conservative or. And I am kind of matchy-matchy.
Yeah, are you?
But it works.
Yeah, I don't like to matchy-matchy.
Throw something in that you know, throws you off a little bit, so.
Reader's Digest has said, if you're doing these things, you probably are making yourself look older. You don't have to, but they say you are. How about this one? You always wear elastic-waisted pants.
I don't have any.
You don't have any?
I might have.
Good for you.
I mean, I guess leggings.
I do.
Leggings have it. All right.
No, I would wear elastic jeans if I could.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Every pair of jeans now is made of so much Lycra that you really don't need.
I hate jeans. I hardly ever wear them.
I wear jeans all the time.
I'm very short-waisted.
Oh.
So it's very uncomfortable. If you notice, I hardly ever wear pants. I wore pants the other day, and Kim Gordon was like, wow, you have jeans on. That's how
it doesn't happen often.
I wear dresses all the time.
And the reason is because?
I hate wearing pants.
Oh.
Because they don't sit right.
Because of you being short-waisted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, when I was younger, I could wear the hip huggers, but now I have a fat stomach, so I can't wear hip huggers.
That's
ridiculous. You look fine.
What about... Yes, you can, by the way.
Can't give you a big vote of confidence.
Actually, you know what? Isn't that... That's what I noticed the most about young girls today. They have kind of fat stomachs, and they just... Put it out there.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, maybe I can do that. But I'll bet Reader's Digest says no.
Yeah, Reader's Digest would not be happy.
So I could wear...
Get petite.
No, they just... I don't like it. So anyway, that's why I would do... I wear stretchy pants.
What about clam diggers, Jude?
Well, those are just capris, right?
Those are still very popular.
Yes. Yeah. Most of my capris are elastic.
Yeah. And do you actually dig clams when you wear them? Because you're supposed to.
Yeah, I don't ever find any in Lake Michigan, though.
No, there aren't any. What about this one? Now, this one's confusing to me because I rarely wear a tie. And this is part of the reason. It says, you wear wide ties from different eras. Now, I have found, and I don't wear ties very often. It means somebody's either getting married or they're dead.
Or we have a work thing.
Or we must, for work, dress up. But the width of the tie changes from, I guess, year to year.
It does. But remember in the 80s, it was the real narrow
ones? Real skinny ones.
I loved them. Again, do what you want. Reader's Digest. If you want to read it, read it. If you want to believe it, believe it.
Right.
I say do what you want.
Right.
I've seen guys at work with a great suit and they have a thin tie.
Yeah.
Then the next day they come with a different tie. And guys have it so easy. And there was that study that anchor, there was a woman that got criticized for wearing the same dress. But then you look at the men and they wear the same suits all the time. But
oh,
they
like changed 4 days in a row.
They changed the shirt and the tie.
Yeah.
But a woman wears the same dress and I'm sorry. Anchors have to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
How many dresses are there?
Yeah. So you guys have it pretty easy. Maybe we should start wearing suits.
Do you have a thick tie like that?
I have five
ties. I think those were the ones from like the 70s.
But your bolo tie looks stupid.
Don't say that, Wendy. Cut it out.
I love bow ties.
Oh, that's so Anderson Cooper.
No, so
who, Tucker Carlson?
No,
who's the guy who does it?
My son wore one to an event.
He looked good.
He rocked that bow tie.
Younger people do.
Yes.
If I was a villain on Breaking Bad, I'd probably buy one. But other than that, I can't think of a reason to wear one. I have five ties, each of them pre-tied because I don't know how to do it. And
hang them up with a loop on
itself. Yeah, that's exactly. They're all on a hanger in my closet.
Well, they better be in the right spot because they'll be all wrinkled if you move it around.
Oh, no, that's figured.
What if you drop soup on them when you're at a wedding?
It's a guy, Wendy. You just wipe it off and wear it again.
Yeah, move on. Wendy, can you read this one? Because I can't. The wording on this is crazy to me. These are things that they claim over at Reader's Digest make you look older, but I can't.
This one says, Bill, let me help you out. You wear drugstore reading glasses. You keep Walgreens busy there, buddy. And sometimes, some glasses, wire glasses, almost every pair of wire glasses has two little iPads that will hold, and I don't mean the iPad. They're little pads that hold your glasses in place.
They always come off.
Frequently, you are...
Now I'm looking at your glasses, Bill.
Sometimes both of them.
Did you need another?
Put them on and look at me to ask me a question, Judy. And I swear to God, they are.
I look like Percy Dove consoles.
Why, yes, you do. You look very much like Percy.
Ernie Kovacs played him 1,000 years ago, but he wore these glasses that were like fishbowl glasses, and they didn't fit properly. I don't know.
How can you wear them? Doesn't it bother you when you're missing one?
I've got 8 pairs of these. Some are here at the office, some are at home, some are in my car. No, they're all bent in different ways. They're all missing either a...
But I mean the same glasses. The same wire frame.
The same style.
Kind of. Yeah. They're all similar.
You got a different pair once and you felt silly wearing them.
Yeah. I don't know.
I agree. Diagonal across his face, and he's asking me a serious question. I can't even answer you.
Wait, are those just cheaters?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just Walgreens drugstore glasses, Reader's Digest. They make them look old.
3 for $8. Look at that's what I'm saying. They're all bent. Every one of them. But now look, if I go...
How does it even stay in your head?
I have another pair, and I don't know. I think these are actually the best. But even these, like the
iPads.
Well,
you have to be gentle. You're just moving those things like.
That's better.
They're
isn't
bent
it?
In the middle.
They're all, every one of them, because they're made
they're
out
all
of,
the same.
No.
Slightly different?
They're all slightly different, but not.
Yeah. Not that anyone would notice. Okay, I can't believe you were even wearing those. The arm is pretty much perpendicular to the glasses.
These are these. And sometimes, just to mess with my family, I'll put two of them on at the same time, an airplane.
And that doesn't make you look old at all.
No. I look like 2 Chainz. My friend 2 Chainz gave me these.
You're 2 Specs.
You need
some colored glasses.
Like
Jerry Nunn has a million pairs of glasses that look really good.
That's interesting. What color would you wear if you were me?
Just blue. Start with your nautical blue.
Just navy.
I think that would make me look older.
Oh,
you don't think so? You're tricking me.
I'm not.
No?
Where'd that monocle you brought in one day?
Colonel Mustard stole it from me. here's another thing that makes, speaking of glasses, if you said you're wearing glasses around your neck on a chain.
Yeah, that don't do them.
Nobody under the age of 60.
I just if you look at my pictures from the Goodbye Girl at my appearance at the, now I was trying to rock a teacher look.
Yeah.
I had
so you were dressing
so
up.
So I wore, glasses.
So you and Dame Edna are the only people who can get away with that look.
And we both look fabulous.
Yeah, I bet. Now, this one can't be right. It says, this is one way you're making yourself look older. Again, according to Reader's Digest, you wear red lipstick. That's the color of lipstick.
Oh,
it isn't?
Very few people, in my opinion, can get away with red lipstick.
Because right. it's too gaudy.
It's right? Yes. And a lot of times it makes your teeth look more yellow.
Yeah.
But there are hot chicks that wear them.
I think Amy Guth might wear red.
I think she does.
She can pull it off.
Yeah, really well.
She's going for a retro look.
Oh, yes. She's got that really dark hair and her teeth look absolutely white. Yeah. But mostly, you stay away from red.
I just saw somebody on TV a night or two ago wearing really flashy red lipstick, and I went, boy, it's a good thing you're you, because most people could not get away with it. I don't remember. Oh, it was, you know, it was America's Most Likable TV Star, Kristen Bell.
Yeah, a lot of that age group is back.
She looked great with it. But she's
Kristen
Bell.
As you get older, you know, I think the lipstick bleeds a lot more. What are your lips get thinner or something?
Oh, maybe.
And yeah, red just.
Yeah.
And then I always think about Hillary Clinton at that debate.
Yeah, where it just stood out way too much.
Well, she had on her tooth, didn't she? But I think it was pink. I'm a pink lipstick wearer.
We must break. Judy, thank you for hanging out.
Absolutely. Thanks for the tips.
Are you here tomorrow?
Yes.
All right, Bill will not be here. My husband, Jimmy Mack, will be sitting in his chair.
Oh, that'll be fun.
See if you can tell the difference.
Yeah, it's going to be
You guys, I got to tell you.
I'll leave a pair of glasses for him.
Give him he has his own.
Leave him the big ones. You don't know how big his head is.
Thanks, Jude. We'll take a break and then close things off.
Bill, I want to thank you, first of all.
For
it's
what?
Not like you're moving away and dying or something.
No, I don't plan on doing either anytime soon.
But thanks for putting up with my lack of light in here, because John Williams just came in and just cranked the lights. What are you doing?
You know, I've
just been sitting in the darkness for 3 hours.
Wendy has the lighting set. There's a setting called Seance on the wall, and that's where the lighting is for the show.
It's one of those things you don't know about people until you work with them.
Yeah.
What kind of, or marry them. Oh, my God, this is really bothering you, Wendy. I apologize.
It's just, it's really like sunlight, and I can't see the buttons on the board.
Oh, my gosh. Well, then let's just.
Do you notice that they're all, like, right towards you?
Shining towards you. Well, that's for TV. I mean, these are radio studios are lit for television as well.
Right.
And who knows? what if I pop?
Right. That's true.
If a camera crew comes in and goes, oh my God, we need that.
America's looking for you.
So if that happens, I'll be ready for it.
Wendy, by the way, now applying sunscreen as we do the crosstalk.
No, I'm putting my sunglasses on, though.
Well, like my producer, Olive, and I share a smaller space now. And again, with the new studios come new offices, and so we're all learning to live together differently. And she wants the shades drawn, and she likes a different temperature than I do.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding, John.
Wendy's wearing sunglasses.
And what I love about John Williams is he comes in and says, do you mind if I turn the lights up? And I said yes, and he continued to do it.
Yeah.
Well, what time is it?
We're on John time now.
It's 101.
It's up to him. He calls the shots, the lighting shots.
I don't mean to be that guy. You know what? I apologize.
I'm totally milking it. Don't worry about it.
So you are still wearing sunglasses, so I'm going to. This will not happen again.
Don't worry about it. What do you have coming up on your show?
I don't even care now. Let's just get you out of here. Bill, call 911.
I already did.
All right.
Good luck on your tennis tournament
tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Are you playing tennis? I hadn't heard.
Yes.
Wow.
State champion.
I know. I wish, I didn't hear all of your show. Will there be video of this? Well, can we live stream it, or will we be able to watch it?
I don't know that there's any video capability. I don't know.
Meaning he's not going to videotape
it. It's going to be
it.
Can't your wife stand there with an iPhone and watch?
No. No, I wish, but sadly that is not the case. But I'll recreate it for you when I get back.
I hope you do.
I will.
Well, good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you so much. Have a great show, John.
All right.